Joseph.
Precious.
My precious. It's good.
All right.
Smeagol likes this.
Me like that.
Hobbit's good. Baggins bad. Me kill Baggins.
That's enough.
I have too much fun with that sometimes.
Smeagol's like my least favorite character on Earth.
Really?
Well, the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy is kind of tedious to get through. Especially the way they did the movies. They butchered the second book.
Well, they kind of had to.
Or it would have been a 6-hour movie.
Well, no. It's like they took the big cliffhanger ending from the second book and put it at the end of the third movie. That was like my favorite part of the second book. Because, you know, Sam's chasing...
See, I thought they did a better job than Tolkien did with the books to begin with.
Well, I think they did, too. I think Fellowship of the Ring is the best of all three of them. Because it's just beautifully shot. Sets everything up great. You know, they kill Sean Bean because he dies in every film he's ever been in.
Of course.
He made such a good villain. Elijah Wood's actually decent.
Sexy.
What? He's gay.
Just kidding. He's not gay.
He most certainly is.
Is he really?
Well, his character was. Frodo and Sam are obviously in love with each other.
No, they're not.
Watch Clerks 2. They explain it really well.
Well, it's a movie about walking.
Three films and nothing but freaking walking to a freaking volcano.
What did they do in the first movie? They walked. What did they do in the second movie? They walked.
It's even a quest. It's, you know, even Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
You know, even the trees walked in that movie.
Everyone frippin' walked.
We're quoting Clerks too, Audrey. There's a great scene where one of the main characters is arguing with these two Lord of the Rings fans about which trilogy is better, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
Oh, a Lucas fan.
I'm the weirdo. Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
Oh.
There's only one return, and it's not of the king, it's of the Jedi.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. The whole movie cracks me up. I'm taking it back.
Ah, jeez. Reading an article. Green Lantern's costume in the movie will be all CGI'd.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep. It's on ScreenRants.com. Ryan Reynolds' costume for the Green Lantern movie is going to be mostly CG. Is this a great idea or a terrible one?
In every movie that he ever shows them, they're supposed to be fake. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, Ryan Reynolds is not, in fact, not Burt Reynolds' son.
Oh, I never thought he was.
No, there was like this, it's one of those myths that Ryan Reynolds is Burt Reynolds' son. He looks kind of like him and acts sort of cheeky like he does, but Wikipedia's got it right.
That's pretty stupid.
And I'll have to say that 24, yeah, according to this news story, is pulling out all the stops and bringing back
every character.
The one character they always bring back since he's been introduced is President Logan. So, huh. Wonder what kind of stupid crap Logan's going to do this time where he acts all big and bad and then cries.
Funny.
At Jack Bauer tears the bottom off a lamp and shocks him on his nipples, make him talk.
Perfect torture device.
Well, speaking of being shocked on the nipples, what are we going to do with our food episode now?
We're going to get started on it so everyone can go to bed at a decent time.
Okay. I had one other little news story that I found out tonight.
Okay, what's that?
Paul Cornell, the guy who writes for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He's taking over Action Comics.
He's taking over Action Comics?
Yes. He's going to be the new writer starting in June. He's going to be writing Superman.
Wow. I mean, he's like in control of the actual comic brand or just that story?
Just the whole the Superman line for the whole Action Comics storyline. They're breaking it. For the last couple of years, they've been doing stories where all of the Superman, Action Comics, Supergirl, and a couple of the other titles have been all tied together. They're now separating them again, and Paul Cornell has been given full reign on Action Comics.
All right. I would have been excited about that when I was a comic fan. But, yeah, I think Cornell's going to make it pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He's a great writer. I liked what he was doing with Captain Britain for a couple years.
Before we get started talking about food, I'm going to have to throw a shout-out to our little buddies over at Podshock for their coup today. They, I don't know if you've noticed Facebook today yet, Mike, but they've interviewed Stephen Moffat today.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Well, apparently Stephen Moffat, Matt Smith, and Karen Gillan are in New York to promote the new season of Doctor Who on BBC America.
Right, I knew that.
And there's pictures of Ken Deep standing like right next to him.
No way. Oh,
yeah.
That is awesome.
Well, lucky them.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, they are the... What was it? I was listening to the Podshock when they were at Gallifrey. And
yes.
What was it? Chip from the 2-Minute Time Lord was calling Lewis the Podfather.
Yeah. He is the Podfather.
That was
Podfather.
Great.
Podfather.
Well, he gets stuff done like you wouldn't believe.
Well, it's mostly why most of us are doing all these podcasts and stuff is because of Podshock.
If it weren't for Lewis, Ken, and James, I wouldn't be sitting here talking right now.
Exactly. Me too.
So he is the Podfather.
So I thought that was great.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is
all right.
Good.
Hello, everyone. As you have no doubt turned in, you're listening to another episode of Random Vortex, and I accentuate the random tonight. We are talking about food, because apparently we're all hungry.
Food.
Woohoo!
Basically, the idea is... Actually, Audrey, why don't you explain the topic tonight?
I just thought it would be interesting to ramble on about things we associate with food, special foods that we've tried to fix for different people, significant others, ourselves, disastrous food stories, just generally food humor, because food is such an important part of our lives. And I know my entire day revolves around when's breakfast, when's lunch, and what on God's green earth am I going to fix for dinner?
Well, especially with kids.
Yeah.
Mom, what's for dinner? What are we eating?
And I feel bad. I feel bad because as a kid, I would meet my mother at the door. She would walk in the door from the office. Hi, Mommy, what's for dinner? You know, and I feel bad now because my kids do that to me, and I just want to go, nothing, you shall starve to death, you know.
Talk about Schmeagol.
No, I definitely could see that. It was like, you know, my parents both worked, and it was like I was almost in charge of cooking for my sister when Mom and Dad would be working late in the evenings a lot of times, and it was like, having to make, you know, from an early age, probably from the age of 10 up, I had to start cooking dinners and stuff for my sister.
Wow.
And, you know, so food was always an important, you know, part of our dinner. And, you know, day and such was trying to get it all together.
I remember the first thing I ever learned how to cook was scrambled eggs.
Oh, that's
yeah,
all.
I have to say that was probably one of the first things.
Oh, yeah, or toast.
Yeah, I would say it's hard to mess toast up, but it's actually easier than anything else.
Yeah, I've toasted some toast several times.
I've set the fire alarm off a couple times in college.
I once set the toaster on fire with a Pop-Tart, and what's the first
no
thing
way.
I do? The first thing I do is I pick up the phone and call my daddy. Daddy, Daddy, the toaster's on fire. What do I do? He
Put
goes, Jesus Christ, did you unplug it?
Oh,
good idea.
Wow.
I poured like a bucket of water on our toaster.
Folks, it sounds like Audrey's the reason why college dorms don't allow hot plates.
I was actually at home when that happened. That's how sad this is. It was summer break. I was 19, and yeah, I set it on fire with a Pop-Tart. I was smart enough to throw it into the sink before, you know.
The Pop-Tart or the toaster?
The burning toaster to get it out from under the wooden cabinets, you know?
Oh, that's
Tell me you unplugged it before you threw it in the sink, though.
Not until after calling my father. So Daddy, like, Daddy, I've burnt the house down. What do I do?
I have electricity arcing through me as we speak. My most embarrassing food story actually happened 2 years ago in a really nice beach house I was living in when I first moved out to the beach. I was cooking French fries in hot oil.
Ooh.
And I went in the other room, and I came back, and the stove was kind of flaming.
Oops.
So, you know, I picked up the pot and kind of moved it out of the way, but it was hot, and I dropped it and set the curtains on fire.
Oh, shoot.
It's the first and only time I've ever had a debacle like that in the kitchen. So I just grabbed the fire extinguisher, which I'm glad was sitting right there, and put it out. Just messed up some curtains. Actually, it was not really curtains. It was just really cheap blinds that looked like spaghetti when it was done.
Man.
It just went foop, and I was like, oh, God, I just burnt down my rental house. And I didn't. It was fine. Didn't mess up any paint, nothing. Just the blinds. I was going, shoo, 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 when I was done with that, because I was like, shoo.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done anything that bad yet.
We've had a kitchen disaster and such. But, when I was living out in Seattle, we were having my dad and his wife come out for Thanksgiving. And we had, you know, at least 20 people coming to the house for the holiday. And the morning of Thanksgiving, we were laying in bed, and all of a sudden we heard a huge crash from upstairs in our kitchen. And we ran up to find out that the night before we had a rainstorm, and the ceiling had collapsed into the kitchen.
Oh,
goodness.
Oh, hell.
And
I mean,
we already had the turkey, you know, all basting in the fridge, and we had all the food, you know, ready to be prepared and everything. And we had to end up going out to frippin' restaurants for dinner and such because everything was just ruined.
So this was a holiday, right?
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
So were you sitting in the Chinese restaurant where they're doing deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa ra 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 ra?
No, many restaurants are open on Thanksgiving. It's Christmas that they're not.
And, you know, they didn't used to be. I can remember when the whole town just shut down. You couldn't get gas. You couldn't get milk. If you were out of something, you better go knock at your neighbor's door and beg them to loan you something. And now everybody's pretty much open. And I almost think that's sad. I almost think there ought to just be a few days that we don't have to work, darn it.
But there are people that don't like to cook on Thanksgiving and such.
I agree. My favorite hot thing about Thanksgiving was when my daddy would take us down to Daytona for the car show, the Daytona Turkey Rod Run. And we'd go down there and eat at Shoney's for Thanksgiving. It was great.
Ah, Shoney's. I miss Shoney's.
I do too.
Shoney's was the bomb. You know, Carrollton used to have a really good Shoney's, but now it's a...
It wasn't that good. Brian, my husband, we went there. He's like, you can pick anywhere you want me to take you. This is on our first date. I was like, let's go to Shoney's.
Because the big boy is such a romantic guy to be sitting in front of.
Well, I'd already known him for so many years anyway.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go to Shoney's because they had like an all-you-could-eat fried fish buffet or something. And, man, I like fried
fish. You can kill some catfish, huh?
Yeah, we went, but it wasn't that great. And I really think that that's one of the last times I've eaten at Shoney's, other than for breakfast. Man, their breakfast bar rocks.
Now, that is the thing. But, you know, there's a couple of them out there, but you hardly ever find them. Like, around here, they pretty much the big breakfast bar is Ryan's.
Ryan's and Golden, is it Golden,
Golden Corral?
Golden Corral. Golden Corral is awesome for breakfast, though.
Actually, I like Golden Corral for everything. Their vegetables and stuff are pretty good. But, at the risk of changing topic, when we're going back to like holidays, that stuff doesn't close anymore. It's like the only thing that's actually closed on Christmas now seems to be Walmart, which is like the one, because a lot of the grocery stores here will be closed until noon on Christmas and then they'll open up. So they make everyone, you know, somebody's got to work on Christmas Day.
I just think it's terrible. I mean, yes, we have to have hospitals and police stations and things like that, but I just think there ought to be a couple days of the year that just nobody should have to work.
But well, why? There's some people like me who don't celebrate Christmas.
I know, but wouldn't you like to have a day to not work?
It's called Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I know Michael remember this, but, you know, there's one business out there that never closes 365 days a year.
Waffle House.
No. Well, yeah. Okay. Waffle House. But movie theaters.
Movie theaters.
They're open
every day.
Every day. Doesn't matter.
Remember, you used to have to work on New Year's, on Christmas, on Thanksgiving.
Same here.
Yeah.
It,
and I can remember when nobody went at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but now it's a very big trend to go those days.
I always used to laugh at it, though, because 7-Elevens never close either. And why do they have locks on their doors?
Locks on the doors, that's right.
If they never close.
Well, you know, that's just in case they need to polish the floor or something. I don't know.
Always laugh at that one. And talk about really bad hot dogs.
I've never had the pleasure of a 7-Eleven hot dog, but I've actually eaten one of those Nathan's Originals at the, what's that stupid, I can't remember, one of the big chains down here. Their convenience store hot dogs are, they look nice and juicy, but then you realize it's been sitting on the thing for like 24 hours.
If you're lucky, that's how the minimum.
And now they have those really scary, like, sausage cheese dogs. I can't imagine what that does to a human being. It'll definitely keep you up on a long car ride, that's for sure, and everyone else with their head hanging out the door.
I'll tell you, as good hot dogs as Quick Trip, and in their little travel centers that, you know, that have, like, the diesel station, man, they sell out of those suckers. They actually use, like, wear out hot dog heating up machines, you know, the little ones that roll the wieners?
Right.
They actually burn those up.
There we go. Quick Trip's really good at rolling the wiener, folks.
Sorry about that.
We're not even touching that one.
That's our shameless plug for the night. Go shop at Quick Trip.
Oh, you know.
And help pay Audrey's bills.
There you go. But they do have good hot dogs.
Tom Thumb. That's the one I was thinking of. We have Tom Thumbs on every corner here.
Never heard.
We have Tom Thumb here, too.
They have this
grocery store.
Well, it's a convenience store here that might as well be a grocery store. You go inside and it's like, it looks like a Starbucks on the inside. It's real nice, but, you know, they own Kroger. And
oh, do they?
Yeah, all their stuff in there is Kroger brand. So it's like, I haven't left Carrollton at all.
Huh.
As we said before, the Kroger is a great place for people to go buy their first alcohol.
Funny.
But back to food. We talked a little bit about breakfast. Okay, everybody, what's your favorite breakfast item? Everybody's got to have one.
Oh, my God, grits and eggs scrambled together.
Really?
Yes, it's so good, especially if you've got some sausage you could throw in there with it.
Oh,
yum.
Yeah. That sounds good.
I get teased all the time by Judy because I can't stand grits.
Well, you're from up north, right?
Exactly.
And you probably had cream of wheat growing up, didn't you?
Oh, of course.
Ugh.
And
yeah,
I would take cream of wheat in a heartbeat before I'd have grits. And, you know, I've tried it. And grits with cheese, shrimp and grits, you know.
You know, shrimp and grits is good. They do that right here. It's cheese grits with little chunks of shrimp in it. It's just excellent.
And, you know, every once in a while I have to have grits because we're getting William to try the grits and everything. And he likes them. So he's like, Dad, why aren't you eating them? It's like, grumble.
That's because you probably cook them runny like everyone else does.
Judy grew up here in the South. She knows how to cook them.
They've got to be to where when they cool off, they're congealed enough to where you
can
build a house out of
them. That's right. You can pick them up and make a wafer out of them or something.
Right. I mean, you can make a sandwich out of the grits using the grits as the bread. That's the way to do it. Put the eggs in the middle.
Yep. It's awesome.
I'll have to say, though, the best egg and grit combo I've ever had was in the dining hall at Young Harris. I love their grits.
You know, I got so ruined by dining hall eggs because, you know, it's all fake eggs.
Well, yeah, I know.
It's all powdered, I'm sure.
I worked in the dining hall.
They come out of great big cartons, like milk.
Milk cartons. Yeah. You just pour them out, yeah.
Yeah, it's just eggs, and you pour them out. But I was so used to fake eggs that when I finally got out of college and would eat real eggs, I didn't like the way they tasted.
The consistency is different.
Well, even the taste is different. And I had to relearn to eat eggs.
It's not a stupid egg story. I understand that completely.
See, the thing is, with eggs and me, I need to have them cooked extremely well done. I can't have runny eggs.
Nothing like a soft-boiled egg.
Oh, God.
No. You're right. There's nothing gag.
Exactly. It's like, Judy's like, it's like, I always feel like they're not finished unless, you know, they're hard. you know, it's, oh.
Yeah, my hard-boiled eggs, I think I just overdo.
My favorite thing to make with eggs is called a man on a raft.
What's that?
You take a piece of bread and you take a regular drinking glass and you, like, cut a little circle in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you fry an egg in the middle of the bread. It's man on a raft. And then you fry up the little piece of bread so it's like a nice crunchy little side dish.
Right.
Kids love it. It's like a big eyeball in the middle of your bread. It's pretty cool.
Oh, interesting.
Very interesting, you weirdo southerner. Mm-hmm. Is he? my favorite breakfast item is a cheese Danish.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I love those too. I could eat that anytime.
Cheese Danish. Whenever I have friends visit me, there's always cheese Danish in the morning.
Okay. I'd like that. That's good.
I get extravagant.
my favorite breakfast is just like what I grew up with when I was, you know, I grew up in New York, and of course, growing up in New York, my favorite was always bagels.
Bagels and lox.
Exactly.
Oh, I love bagels.
Bagels and lox, or even bagels with white fish and cream cheese. Oh, no, it's like a white fish spread. Like, it's a mix between, with cream cheese and...
Oh, it's just something about seafood in the
fish
morning.
In the morning, yeah, that's why I can get some eggs.
That's what bagels and lox is, though. Smoked salmon. Oh, it's awesome. But then I also have a guilty pleasure. That's one of my favorite breakfast things. And that's,
I bet it's not the same as my guilty pleasure at breakfast.
No, mine is, ready? It is.
Yes.
Captain Crunch, Crunchberries.
Oh, heck yeah. Captain Crunch is like
and
a great
kids snack. Cereal, period, is good. My kids are like, can we have some of that? And right. I won't buy it for them just because I know I'll eat it.
Oh, no. Crunchberries is my, like, secret guilty pleasure.
I'm not much on the Crunchberries, but the regular, good old-fashioned, cut-your-mouth-open Captain Crunch. You can't help it, man. You get it. You got to let it sit for a minute. You don't want to let it get too soggy, but just where it's just malleable enough to not kill yourself. Because if you eat it too crunchy, it will tear your mouth up. And then when I was a kid, I was always begging my mother for Fruity Pebbles. But you got to eat those quick.
Fast. It turns to mush. Oh, my kids, and I'm like,
See, I've never liked Fruity Pebbles. I always like Cocoa Pebbles.
Well, I like Cocoa Pebbles, too.
But it is the same thing. It turns mushy real quick.
But if I'm buying cereal for myself, I just like to get plain old Rice Chex cereal.
Really?
Chex cereal and milk in a glass, actually.
I like Life.
Life cereal is awesome.
Life cereal is pretty cool. And I like Cheerios when they came up with the flavored ones. Regular Cheerios are just boring, but they're great for little kids to snack on.
I like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Honey Nut ones are good. I couldn't eat shredded wheat or the wheat with the pseudo...
Frosted mini wheats? Yeah, I like that, actually.
I can't stand them. Now, another good breakfast cereal is just plain old Raisin Bran.
I like Raisin Bran. I love the new Raisin Bran Crunch. That's good to eat, like, as a snack, pour it in a little bag and walk around.
And it's also healthy for you.
Yes.
Which is nice.
Mostly, anyway.
I remember when Crispy Wheats and Raisins came out. It was like they always used the Wizard of Oz characters in their commercials. But they were famous because the flakes wouldn't get soggy in the milk. Until I was older, I was like, that's cool. And then I realized there's got to be something funky going on with those to keep them getting soggy.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot, I bought some cookie dough from one of the football players as a fundraiser, and that cookie dough container says it can sit out at room temperature for a week and still be good.
And then what's it doing to your insides?
Nothing really. Like, you actually don't realize this, but you know the butter tubs that you buy at the grocery store?
You don't have to refrigerate that crap.
You don't. You can leave it out.
Are you talking about the margarines, or are you talking?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Country Crock and stuff like that. When I worked at a grocery store, we used to just leave it stacked in the back.
Right.
People just grab it and go because it's not real. You can't do anything to it.
It's just oil.
Yeah.
Congealed.
Whipped up oil. Gross. But we slather it on everything in the South because we like butter.
We like butter here, or we like everything deep fried.
Heck yeah.
What was it? I was listening to...
You're Scottish Fry something.
Oh, I love that. I was listening to the Happiness Patrol podcast the other day, and Tara was talking about deep fried Coca-Cola that she tried.
Yeah. And I've had that before, and it's...
How do you fry Coca-Cola?
You have to mix it with something else. And you
mix it into the Coke syrup into the batter.
Yeah.
And they deep fry it, and then they pour Coke syrup on top of it in a little cup.
So they do that in Georgia because that's Coke. Coke is king.
Actually, see, I'm supposed to be making a Coke cake right now for my fourth period class. Hey, fourth period, sorry, it ain't happening. Let's try again in a couple more nights.
Coca-Cola cake. Mm.
It's good, but it's hard.
Well, it's like we fry everything in the South, and I've been to some Mexican restaurants. They have fried ice cream. And
well, I've had that since I was
a kid. It's pretty cool how they do it. You take a roll of ice cream, and you put, like, Frosted Flakes on the outside of it, and you just drop it for, like, 2 seconds in the fryer and pull it out. And it's nice and crunchy, but still frozen on the middle. And, yes, I guess we skipped the dessert.
That's all right. That's Have you ever gone to a restaurant and ordered dessert first?
Oh, yeah. No. Cheesecake Factory. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it's in the name.
Right.
Cheesecake.
No, I went out somewhere and I wanted a drink. And I was like, come on, you've got to have, like, coffee and Irish cream somewhere. He's like, oh, yeah, that's on the dessert menu. I'm like, heck, yeah, bring it to me. He says, you want whipped cream? I said, yeah, and, like, three cherries, too.
Nothing like a good Irish coffee.
Oh, there's a diner up in Marietta called the Marietta Diner. How about that? Real original name.
And yeah, I know where that is.
Know this diner.
And it's a traditional Greek diner, and it is truly, truly incredible. The food they have there, and right when you walk into the place, they have a display case with all their desserts, and you're just like, screw dinner, I just want the desserts.
Yeah, I just want the dessert. Whenever I go to Papa Do's, you know, and they have good food, starting to get way overpriced now, but anyway, I'm always stuffed at the end, but buddy, I still have to have their bread pudding to take home. I'm like, I got to get that sucker to go.
Bread pudding. Yummy.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those things that if I make it myself, I can't eat it because it just really looks like puke.
Yeah. But if
but
someone
if somebody else
makes
else
it,
make
right.
it with some rum sauce, yum. I can be on that.
One thing I liked about Christmas was Mom makes hot buttered rum.
Oh, yum. Mm-hmm.
And yes. That's some good stuff right there. And when I was old enough to actually drink it, it was some real good stuff. Screw the packages. I want some more of that.
Yeah. I hear you.
Crawl out to the car when it's over with.
You know, the funny thing is, though, as much as, like, I like cheesecake and bread pudding, if there is good, crusty, buttery bread, I would rather have two or three more slices of buttered bread than a dessert sometimes.
Really?
I am the same exact way. And my dad even goes so far as one of his favorite snacks is to take a tub of butter and some
and
loaf
bread
and just sit there and eat, like, the whole loaf.
I've seen people, though, literally take a piece of bread and put a whole stick of butter and just wrap it in the bread and just eat it.
Ugh.
I have actually done that. My daddy let me do that one time when I was about 4. It cured me of wanting to eat butter.
Yeah, I bet you never want to do that again.
I didn't. I never asked to eat butter again.
You're like, what is my body doing to me right now?
You know, I was 4 years old. I know it was little because my parents were still married, but I kept after him wanting the butter, and he says, fine, eat it. And I said, it's on my hands, and he wrapped it in a piece of bread and handed it to me.
Oh, God. I
never wanted to do it again. But then again, he used to, as a snack, he'd say when he got in from school, he'd walk through the back door of the kitchen where his mom had poured all the drippings and get him a big old spoonful of bacon drippings and sausage drippings from the pan and just suck on that like a sucker for a snack.
Well, I couldn't
do that, but I like to put that on like mashed potatoes and stuff.
But I know people that cook like scrambled eggs and stuff in bacon fat.
Yeah, I like to do that,
that
too, but he would like get a big old congealed scoop and
ugh,
eat it.
But, I couldn't do that.
Like, nah, I couldn't do that.
No, I like to, like, when I'm scrambling the eggs, I'll cook the meat first and then just do the eggs and the grease and stuff. Because, you know what, I can't make gravy to save my life. Like, my grandmother can whip up the gravy out of the grease and stuff real quick, but I always put too much flour in it, and the next thing you know, it's like a paste.
Right.
Then I put more milk, and then it's real soupy, and then I put more flour, and then the next thing I know, I've got this whole pot full of just stuff the cat won't even eat.
Funny.
You know, if your animals won't eat the food,
you know there's something wrong with it. If
the animals will not eat the food, you don't need to eat it. Well, you probably don't need to eat it anyway, but
no.
You know,
have you ever cooked something that you wouldn't eat after cooking it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The first time
it like smelled good when I'm cooking it, but by the time I got done with it, it's like, nope.
The first time I ever tried to make chili, I decided I don't want to follow directions, and I just kept on throwing stuff into it.
And yeah, I've had some chili debacles myself.
Oh man, I was dating somebody in college at the time, and she took like one bite and said, "Can we order a pizza?"
All right.
Here's one for you. Have you ever cooked something and then the other person or someone cooked for you and you were just so afraid to say it was terrible that you'd eat it anyway and you're like trying to smile and you're like,
oh, plenty of times. When I was dating a vegetarian and she would make all this stuff with tofu, and I have a good appreciation for tofu, but it was just hideous. You know, just some of the stuff. Try it. You can imagine it tastes like steak or it tastes like chicken. It's like, no, it doesn't.
If it doesn't taste like chicken, it's not real.
Exactly.
Everything tastes like chicken, apparently.
What did the cavemen first say when they tried chicken, though? What did it say they tasted like?
I don't know. It tastes like pterodactyl. Mm. Whenever people say caveman, I remember, speaking of food, that the movie with Ringo Starr, Caveman.
Right.
When they roll the egg into the volcano and it like fries the egg and they're all like flopping around in this gigantic egg. I guess you had to be there for that one.
Yeah, I'd have to have seen that one.
Nobody's ever
cooked for me like that. I guess because I'm the girl. I'm the one doing all the cooking. And I think I've told you all before when we did our date show, but I made some deviled eggs and I put too much mayonnaise and mustard in them and what have you and had to add flour. But Brian ate it anyway, which was really funny.
Yeah, you see their eyes screwing up. They're like, "Ooh, really good."
That's
I'll cook for y'all sometime. I make a mean chicken enchilada.
I used to cook for Judy when we were dating and such, and I still cook. You know, dinners and stuff. But I make breakfast all the time for everybody.
I like doing breakfast for dinner.
Oh,
I do too. My kids love that too. They get all excited about it. They're like, "Yay, it's breakfast at dinner!"
Kids love it. It's like the best thing since sliced bread.
I used to love it when they do breakfast at lunch at school, you know?
Not at my high school, man. They couldn't cook eggs for nothing.
Oh, those eggs.
They'd cook breakfast for lunch, and we'd hit the fast food line because we had like a hot food line and then like hamburgers and hot dogs. That was the line that was always long on breakfast day. And the lunchroom ladies were like, "Why don't you ever eat that?"
We have food, but.
We would have these weird, like, waffle things. And they're not waffles. Waffle things. Oh. They got the little squares like waffles, but waffles aren't supposed to, like, look like sausage, you know?
Oh, but waffles are awesome, though, if you get them right. And, you know, going sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning when you just have a craving for Waffle House.
Yes, I agree.
House is the bomb.
It's just going to get something, you know, get the waffle, and then the hash browns scattered, smothered, and covered.
Well, you know, the thing about going to Young Harris is you go over to Murphy and eat at the Huddle House.
Like a Huddle Run.
I like the Huddle House better because it's the same as Waffle House, but they have French fries. Instead of just, sometimes you don't necessarily just want to have a scattered, covered, and smothered every time.
True.
Of course, has anyone ever been brave enough to go hash browns all the way?
No.
Scattered, covered, smothered, cap, chunk, topped, and puked, or whatever it's called. I mean, they got everything on it, and they put chili on the top. Don't ever eat Burt's chili, whatever you do.
I love Burt's chili.
Do That's you?
It's evil, man.
Oh, I've seen things crawl into it and not come out, yeah. You know?
We used to go after Six Flags every night. Our little group would go. There used to be a Waffle House right across from the front entrance at Six Flags. They've since closed it. And we used to get thrown out of there all the time for just being goofy. And I remember there was this one time at band camp. No, one time at Six Flags.
Which is sort of like band camp.
You don't even half of it. Toys R Us was having some kind of sale, and one of my friends went over there and bought this thing. It was like a mad scientist kit where you like drop stuff in the bubbles and does weird. It makes weird consistency jelly-like substances. So he was playing with it at the table. And the waitress comes by and goes, "What the hell is that?" And he's like, "I don't know. I just dropped this piece of sausage in there from your restaurant, and it just went crazy, and she threw him out. And as he was going out, he poured the sludge-like stuff right across the front door. And this girl comes in and takes a look at it and just starts yakking all over the place. At that point, we left. Good times, good times.
That's good. That's really good.
Okay, what about lunch foods? I'm one of those people that's like, I don't care what it is for lunch. It could be breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But a lot of people are just like, sandwiches at lunch. That's it.
I eat the same thing for lunch every day.
I bet it's a salad, isn't it?
It is a salad and half of an apple. The only thing that changes are the kind of chips I bring. Sometimes they're Cheez-Its, and sometimes they're Wheat Thins, and sometimes they're tortilla chips.
You know, it's funny how she calls those chips. Those are considered technically crackers, except for the tortillas.
They're all chips. Or if you ask my little girl, she'll tell you they're all carbs, and that carbs. We only pack one carb in our lunch.
Wow.
But anyway, what about you, Mike?
Favorite lunches? Love egg salad and bacon.
Oh, that does sound good.
That's one of my comfort foods.
Egg salad and bacon, that's good. I like a good egg salad sandwich.
Oh, very much so. And just whenever...
They're great.
They are very great.
Whenever I've had a bad day or something and I just was like totally stressed, I'd go to the deli or go to the local sandwich shop and say egg salad and bacon. Usually rye bread, and it's just like, it's awesome.
Ooh, that's even better, yeah. Anything, even chicken salad. But you know what's a no-no at lunch? I don't know if you guys eat with other people. I hate when people bring tuna or any fish, and they want to reheat it. We all got to sit there at lunch and smell that funky nastiness.
First of all, who reheats tuna?
No, I'm not saying tuna, but some people bring leftover fish from like a dinner or a night out or what have you.
Don't reheat that crap
in the little teacher's lounge. Ugh.
And then the microwave smells like fish for 2 weeks.
At my last job, they actually had a sign that you're not allowed to reheat fish in the microwave because they've had too many experiences of just stinking up the office.
It is. It's nasty.
Everybody gets sick. It's almost as bad as listening to sports talk at lunch all day.
Well,
yeah, it really is.
The sad thing is, like, the office I'm working at now, the people who I'm working with, a lot of them are from other countries, and they don't read directions all that well, and they have a habit of burning microwave popcorn.
Oh, God. And that stinks.
And that stinks up the whole office, not just the kitchen.
Bad.
As anyone who has worked at a movie theater will tell you, you burn popcorn once during the day, and you're, like, nauseous the rest of the day. You can't help it.
So much so.
It's the worst absolute smell on earth. And then people are...
And, like, it gets in your hair. I've had people, like, later on ask me, you know, were you smoking? Because my hair smelled like burnt popcorn from where at lunch somebody burned their popcorn.
Exactly. And it's hideous.
I have about 6 years of my life where my aftershave was popcorn with butter smell. Seriously.
I used to walk home, you know, after working at the movie theater, and my face would be so greasy just from the oil and the popcorn machine and such. It was hideous.
That's how it was when I worked at Crystal's. It was that way.
Yeah, Crystal, that's my guilty pleasure food around here. If I'm just, like, feeling bad, I'll go get a 4-pack of cheese Crystals, and I'll be happy. But my actual comfort food, when I'm just down and out and not feeling great, I'll cook this thing my mom used to make called hamburger and french fry casserole. And it's I'm going to give a recipe now.
Yeah, give it here. I want to see if it's like my tater tot casserole.
Well, it's probably exactly like it because I do tater tot casserole too. But it's like you put the ground beef in the bottom and you... you know, can salt and pepper it. But if you do tater tot casserole, you're supposed to put cream of mushroom. Well, tater tot casserole, the way I was taught to do it, you put celery salt on it, and then you put cream of celery in the tater tots. It's really good. But I'm a cream of mushroom fan, so I do cream of mushroom. But hamburger and french fries, you put the hamburger meat down, you put cream of mushroom soup, and you dump crinkle-cut french fries on the top, a little cheese about three-quarters of the way through it cooking, and put it in there until it's all done. And it's just... delicious goodness.
Yeah, that's my tater tot casserole is like a leftover recipe because after I've cooked a big pot of beans and we've eaten them as much as we can stand, then I do ground beef with cream of mushroom mixed in with extra mushroom, dump it in the bottom, dump all the leftover beans in the middle layer, and then cheese, and then all the tater tots on top.
Now, salt. Do you just dump the tater tots in, or do you line them up?
Oh, no. Well, let's see. You're talking to me. What do you think I do?
You line them up.
In cute little patterns, nonetheless.
I don't do the patterns, but I have them going straight across in a perfect line.
Yep. Patterns, as Kelsey calls it. She's patterns. Like, let's line them up in patterns, Mommy.
We, you know, those are just neat, quick, and can feed an army kind of casseroles.
Yes. I love it. I love anything I can throw in one pot or one pan.
Yep. I once had a relative that had a book called 365 Things You Can Do to a Chicken.
Oh.
and while that sounds like a perverted thing, it's actually got some really good recipes in it.
Is it good?
Yeah, the book's great.
Oh, it sounds awesome, though. It sounds really good.
Chicken casseroles like you wouldn't believe. Now, one thing about tater tot casserole I need to mention, that's like the American version of...
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie, yeah. It's a crunchy
shepherd's
pie. That's
why I did it, because I can't stand green peas.
See, my dad used to make shepherd's pie all the time when growing up, but it was not with lamb. He made it just with ground beef.
Yeah, that's how I do it. And who can afford lamb?
It's actually cheaper than beef, according to Alton Brown on Food Network.
Alton Brown. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Alton Brown.
Alton Brown is like one of my
heroes. Good Eats? I love him.
He's so funny.
See, I'm not into him. I'm more into Guy Fieri.
Ooh, aren't you the gourmet chef?
Oh, yeah. Going in for the diners, drive-ins, and dives. It's like whenever we go out of town, William goes, has Guy Fieri been here? We got to go to the place Guy Fieri went to. When we went out to Seattle last summer, we went to four different places that he had been to on the show.
Well, you know,
that would be fun. That would be a fun thing to do. I want to go eat at, like, famous places. Sorry.
Well, there's some great places here in Atlanta that he's been to.
We've got two famous restaurants in town. Or actually three. One's a bar and two restaurants. One's Margaritaville, which is owned by Jimmy Buffett. And he was here 2 weeks ago, and I missed him. Darn. Excuse me. Edit.
Sure.
And the other one is a Guy Harvey's restaurant. Guy Harvey's a famous, I put a T on the end of famous, like a southerner. He's a famous artist, and he owns a restaurant here in Pier Park. And it's some of the most fantastic or fabulous seafood I've ever had, but it's also like $90 for two people to eat there.
No, it sounds cool.
But the other one is, we have a Coyote Ugly here.
Do you?
One of the real Coyote Uglies. And it's just name recognition. You can watch a girl dance on a table with clothes on.
Why would I do
and
that?
And pay $10 to get in. And then you can pay $30 for a body shot.
A body shot?
Yeah, they pour it in their navel and you suck it out, or they between their cleavage and you suck it out.
Yeah.
No. How do you know, like, the last time they bathed or how many other people have sucked?
I knew you were going to say that.
I don't know, because I haven't ever done one, because who the hell's going to pay $30 for a shot? I don't care how hot the girl is.
That's Brian once told me pouring beer on skin made it taste horrible, but that's a story for a different night.
I only know that from, like, spilling it on my hand and trying to lick it off, going, ooh, the salt.
That's sort of what I meant, too. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's what I meant.
What about those guys that, like, pulls the girl's shoe off and pours a drink in it?
Ew.
I will drink champagne, that's if you're sure.
That's only cool in Cinderella, because exactly. I'm sure Cinderella doesn't have an odor on her at all.
Yeah, and they're glass slippers.
She's a cartoon character.
I know.
Hello.
And she's a fairy tale.
What's a romantic, what kind of foods do you associate with romantic foods?
Well, you know, everybody always talks about whipped cream, but whipped cream's actually pretty nasty.
Yeah.
It sours real fast, and it's not as fun as it sounds.
Oh, it's pretty fun. Well, that's another show also.
Yeah.
No, I just felt like that you associate it with a romantic evening, not necessarily with kinky.
Fruits are good for romantic evening because they're easy to chop up, and you can feed each other and all cutesy and stuff. But
champagne.
It's also somewhat healthier. Yeah, champagne is usually. But, you know, champagne to me is kind of overrated. And if you don't get the right stuff, it's just drinking alcoholic fuzzy water.
Very much so. But then you also have, you know, some people consider oysters very romantic.
Yeah, oysters to me, you know, I don't think
smell bad.
Well, when I think romance, I don't think something that looks like a lug. I don't. Hey, baby, let me rub this oyster all over you, or let's eat some oysters and see what happens.
Let me show you this.
I mean, pretty much, if you're into the person, you don't need the oysters anyway.
True.
Because they're supposed to be aphrodisiacs. But you know what? Right. Have you ever noticed that aphrodisiacs are always the most disgusting thing you could ever eat? It's like watching an episode of that, what was that show that Joe Rogan was on, where they ate animals and pieces of stuff.
Did you just say it?
I said it, and I don't know why. I've never said that before in my life.
That's funny. My little girl still says it, and we laugh about it and don't correct her. She's going to start kindergarten and say it.
I'm going to et that dog. They would say around here.
You know what? I think it's is romantic. I don't know. That is comforting and kind of manly smelling to me is coffee. When coffee is brewing, I'm just like, that is such a good manly smell. And I've got to drink some right
coffee
away.
Coffee is a good mood type thing for me. It's I could be in a really grumpy mood, go into Starbucks or a Caribou or someplace like that, take a whiff, and it's like,
yeah, it has to be a certain type of coffee. It's not necessarily just the stuff you brew at home. Although some mornings when you get up and you're like in your bathrobe and propped up and ready to get the coffee brewing.
When I was living out in Seattle, I did some freelance work at Starbucks corporate headquarters, and they literally pump that smell into the office.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
It would keep you more awake. It's supposed to be more...
Oh, trust me. Working at Starbucks, you're awake. They have in their little kitchens on each floor a full-service barista.
Wow.
Giving you free lattes and shots. You make, you know, make whatever drink you want.
Well, you know, at the Random Vortex corporate headquarters that we're going to have in a year or two, we will have a barista.
Okay.
I promise you that.
That'd be awesome.
I would have to say coffee is an excellent, you know, thing to talk about there, because there's so many different types and so many different moods that you can be in when you have the coffees. I think romantic foods, there's nothing in particular to me that's romantic, but it has to do with the people that are eating it and if you both like it together and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying, like, you know, Jell-O is the most romantic thing ever, but if both of you like it and you like being around each other when you're eating it, Jell-O can be a romantic food. Just to throw something out there.
I don't think so. Slurping?
Especially if you're wrestling in it, you know. It's very romantic.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I don't know if
I was just thinking really like finger foods, like you said, with the fruit. You know, I associate things like fried chicken with going on picnics, and that's romantic.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Little tiny sandwiches and such.
Yeah, so, little pedophores.
Those little cucumber sandwiches you get at weddings. I love those.
Very much so. Like when Judy and I were up in...
Those are great.
We were up in Victoria, British Columbia. We went for high tea at the Empress.
Awesome.
And that was very romantic, you know, just because they give you all the little finger foods to feed to each other, and you're drinking tea at the same time, and it's just you and your partner.
You know, I think going to a dim sum restaurant could be romantic. I don't know if you've ever had dim sum before or not.
No, haven't.
And
because you're choosing exotic foods, and some of it is an aphrodisiac, like the chicken feet. They always have chicken feet, and I have never eaten chicken feet, and I never plan to.
I'll be passing on them.
But some of the confectionaries and little things that the Chinese have are just fabulous.
Guys, maybe on the Sunday when you guys come up for Dragon Con, we'll go to Hong Kong Harbor. And we'll go for dim sum for breakfast.
Okay.
I've never had the breakfast dim sum.
Oh, it's the same thing, but you do it for brunch type thing. You go.
I do miss Chinaville in Atlanta. I used to, when I lived in Carrollton and Temple, I'd go over to I forget the area. It's Industrial Boulevard or whatever, where they have all the Chinese groceries and Chinese restaurants.
Are you talking about Buford Highway?
Yes, Buford Highway. Come shop for a bargain at the Buford Highway Flea Market.
Exactly. But there's a great Chinese place over there called Little Szechuan. It's like one of the top 100 Chinese restaurants in the country.
Yeah, we made a mistake. Huh. Me and a couple of friends made a mistake of going over there and asking for an authentic Chinese restaurant. So we went there, and the guy was like, do you know Chinese? No. Then be careful what you order. And my friend ordered something, and it was a dried piece of fish, like freeze-dried, like with some kind of weird white crusty gravy sauce on it. And he took two bites and was like, hey, let's go to McDonald's. I'm like, no, after paying $40 for that, you're going to eat it, pal.
See, actually, that's one of my comfort foods is sizzling rice soup.
I like hot and sour soup.
And it's like...
I like hot and sour soup.
If I'm working on a project late into the night, I just usually run out over to the Chinese place and grab the soup and just work on, you know, with my laptop at the table, or bring it back home and finish everything up.
You know, I do that a lot too. I'll go get just soup, and then I'll get some crab rangoon with the cream cheese in the middle.
Oh, that stuff's good too. Oh man, I love that stuff.
See, I think Chinese food is a good romantic food. It's a good romantic place to take someone for dinner.
That's
nice...
on my first day. It was this guy Jeff I told you about in my other disasters, where my dad slammed the door on him. We went out and had Chinese for my first date, and I agree with you. It's very romantic because it's kind of hushed atmosphere, and you can eat with chopsticks. And if you're the girl, you can always either pretend that you don't know how to use them, so he has to touch your hand and show you how, or help him if he's playing the same game.
You really like plan these date things out, don't you?
Way too much.
What
can
I do to make him touch my hand? Why don't you just grab his hand? He'll touch it back. We're a lot simpler than you think.
You guys are just like, smile at me, I'm happy.
We're sitting there thinking, how can I touch her hand?
Pet me.
Yeah, but we're not thinking like, maybe she'll grab her chopsticks, then I can help her. No, I guess that's kind of like, you know, showing her how to swing a golf club by getting behind her, you know. And
here, let me show you this.
Chinese food's very romantic. It's also one of those foods I like to go out to eat because I can't fix it for myself worth a crap.
I can stir fry like crazy, but I can't do the really cool sauces that go with the little fried chicken bits or dog or cat bits, depending on where you're at.
I can't do hot and sour soup.
No. Yeah, I can't make that either. I can do egg drop because you just make the broth and you poke a hole in an egg and drip it in there, and it's pretty much it.
No, the Chinese restaurant that used to deliver onto campus when I was in college got closed down because they got caught serving cat and passing off as chicken.
We used to make some really killer jokes in Carrollton because we had the Peking, which we called the Pekingese. And we had
hey, do you remember that Chinese restaurant that was behind my house in Carrollton?
Yeah. The what's that one? The Golden River? Was that what it was? We called it the Golden Retriever. Or it's the House of Something. It was this.
I don't know. I never ate there.
It's actually the best one in town. No, Evergreen is the best one in town. The one over First Tuesday Mall. That's the best one. I used to work there when I was in high school. Me and my friend Ken McCutcheon were like, he was a waiter and I was a busboy. And then I became a waiter and we had a blast. But I remember my friend Matt was bringing his first date there because we're like, come on out there and we'll set you up. So he was all nervous. So we put him at the table that was by the kitchen.
Right.
And then Ken and I were like, what can we do to mess with Matt because he's all nervous? So I grabbed a butcher knife and walked out and went, here, kitty. His face went white. It's like, did you see a cat run by here?
That's just wrong in many ways.
Yeah, come on, practical jokes are great.
Oh, of course they are.
Now, here's my worst eating experience. I remember it to this day. In Carrollton, there used to be a Bonanza restaurant, which isn't...
Yes, there was.
Forced me.
And when I was in high school, my mom and dad and me and my sister went there to eat one night because we were coming from like one of my sister's softball games or something, and everything was closed but this Bonanza. So we went there to eat, and we went to the salad bar. It's at a big, huge bar in the middle. And we went and sat down, and about halfway through eating, we noticed the employees were running around the bar smacking at something with broom handles.
Oh, no.
And they were chasing a rat around. So my dad was like, we're leaving, and he didn't pay. He's like, I'm not paying for that. And they're like, okay, see ya. Don't tell anyone. And surprisingly, they stayed open for many decades after that.
Do you guys ever find, you know, how do you guys tip? Do you automatically give a tip to somebody, or do they have to earn the service?
No, I automatically tip, and typically 20%. You've got to really, really suck, and then I'll give you 15.
I tip based on how I think the waiter or waitress is, actually, because I used to wait tables and I know how it gets. I know when they're in the weeds and they can't keep up and they're just trying their best. And then I know when they're just ignoring you and they're worth a crap.
Right.
I've actually walked out of a restaurant without leaving a tip because the guy was ignoring us, and also he was making fun of William when he was a baby.
What?
Yeah, you don't stand for that.
Why? Well, no, you don't do that to a kid, because William was born with a birth defect, and he had a cyst on the side of his face. And
goodness.
He was taught pointing to all the other wait staff at the kid and everything, and, you know, William was, 9 months old at the time, and he, you know, was basically ignoring us, finally, we had to ask the manager to bring our food, you know, stuff like that. And so we walked out. We complained to the manager. The manager was all apologetic about it and everything and comped some of our food and everything. But we paid the bill, but we didn't leave a tip. We started walking.
Yeah, and I could say that.
We walked out of the restaurant, and the guy, the waiter, walked out after us and said, "Hey, is this all you're paying? You didn't leave me a tip." And it's like, "You're right.
You suck."
I told him, you know, think about your career choice before you do something like this again.
I'm kind of a sarcastic person, and if I have a bad waiter, I'll be sarcastic with them. But the worst experience I had was in Underground Atlanta. Me and my ex-wife and a friend of ours were eating dinner at a there used to be a Mexican place at the very end of the street.
Right.
Like, it dead-ended this restaurant. So we got there kind of late, and the waiter just ignored us. He came over and took our drink orders, and then the little busboy that could barely speak English actually took our order, brought our food, took care of us, and all that stuff. So we paid him the tip.
Good.
And then we wrote a tip out on a piece of paper, and it said, "Here's a tip. Don't eat yellow snow." And so we walked out, and he chased us out. He's like, "What does this mean? Did you don't eat pissy snow? Don't. Did I give you pissy service?" We're like, "Yeah." It's like, if you have a bigger problem, you and the manager can discuss it.
That's totally the way it should be. You know?
Now, I left a tip like that one time when back in our Waffle House stories. I was working at Crystal's, and we got off late one night, and all of course head over to Waffle House to eat, and the cook was being the waiter, which, you know, usually Waffle House is all female waiters, but we had this guy, and he was really cute. And so I was flirting with him, and I was really hungry. And so I ordered like $10 worth of food myself, and this was in 91. So you can imagine how much food that was.
Right.
And when we were leaving, I was paying for it, and I wrote down, "Here's a tip. I work at Crystal's. Come see me sometime." Sure enough, like three nights later, he comes through the drive-thru window. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I have some drive-thru window stories, but unfortunately, the children might be listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hold off on that.
But, yeah, I mean, the tipping depends on the service, really. I mean,
oh, very much so.
Most of the time, I'm not getting really bad service, and most of the time when I do, a lot of it is because they're really, really slammed. And there's one restaurant out there that has figured out how to keep people entertained during busy periods, and that's Joe's Crab Shack. Because, you know,
yes,
when they start dancing, yeah, it's because the kitchen has backed up. So they take your attention away from the fact you haven't eaten in 3 hours.
And they, you know what Joe's Crab Shack does,
they automatically
right?
did it every 45 minutes or so.
Like. That must be when the kitchen gets backed up.
They do in slow periods, but generally when they're really busy, they'll do that.
Right. I'll tell you what Joe's Crab Shack does right is they have that freaking playground. If more restaurants, like adult restaurants, such as On the Border, Chili's, Applebee's, would toss a playground on there, man, I'd drop money at Joe's Crab Shack like you would not believe, because we can kick the kids onto the playground and we have time for appetizers, drinks, a meal, more drinks, dessert, more drinks. I mean, every time I go to Joe's Crab Shack, somebody else has to drive me home.
And then they're tired, and they go straight to sleep when you get home.
Yep, and we just order theirs in a to-go box. We're like, we'll have theirs to-go. The kids eat it in the car on the way home, go home, and pass out. It's fantastic.
I don't generally go to restaurants like Chili's or Applebee's and stuff. I think their food's just kind of bland.
It is, but so. If they had a playground, I would go there more frequently.
Yeah, but
most,
I mean,
most of the times, though, if I go to a Chili's or an Applebee's or something or TGI whatever's, I go there with when I have William, because it's simple food for him.
Right.
I don't like TGI Fridays because they based everything in Jack Daniels. They see,
really?
They have the, yeah,
yeah,
that's their menu.
True.
They have
that's
the Jack
true.
Daniels menu. I'm not a huge Jack Daniels fan, but I certainly don't want it all over my food. And they're a little overpriced for what they are, but the food's pretty decent, I guess. We just, you know, we're the capital of seafood around here, so, I mean, we get good seafood if you like that, but most of the restaurants I go to are, you know, local establishments owned by local people that you don't see anywhere else. And they've got good home cooking food. We got a lot of good places to eat, like vegetables and meats and stuff.
Oh, very much so. I'd rather give money to a local establishment than going to a, you know, to a chain thing.
Right.
In a heartbeat. It was just what I'd want to do, you know, to support the economy, or just you find the best places that way.
Yeah, and you know, most of the people here survive off summer money. And they actually have two different menus here. They have a summer menu and an off-season menu.
Right.
And the off-season menu actually caters to all the Northerners and Canadians that come stay down here, or as we like to call them, snowbirds.
Right.
Yeah.
Who eat at like 4 in the afternoon.
Right.
So, it, you know, it's a pretty good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But, have we actually talked about dinner yet, or we just kind of threw it all out?
No, we haven't gotten to dinner yet.
We haven't gotten to dinner yet.
All right. Well.
Well, let's get to dinner. Hey.
What is the most extravagant thing you've ever tried to cook?
To cook?
Yeah. Or Ooh. Fix, or just be extravagant. Oof. You know, something you... All right, how about this?
How about the most complicated? I tried to do a French onion soup. I followed the recipe. It looked good. It tasted like crap. It was so expensive. It cost something like $30 to make it, if not $40.
And you could have paid $6 to eat it
down
at the restaurant.
The drain. It was awful. So I've done that. And I tried this Greek meal one time with this book club I was in. They were all coming over to my house, and we had read The Four Feathers. So I was trying to be all, I don't know what the heck I thought I was trying to do. But anyway, it was good, but it was very, very complicated, and I made a huge mess in my kitchen.
I've done that too. I tried to make a, like, you know, Chinese, and actually make it taste like a Chinese restaurant, and it tasted more like a not Chinese restaurant.
Oh.
I mean, it was okay, but it was more of a, it tasted more of like kind of a different ethnic group than Chinese, and I can't really place it. Maybe more Middle Eastern. I don't know. It's probably what we use. When you're making Mexican, I like to do Mexican stuff, but you got to be careful with the cilantro.
I love cilantro.
You put too much cilantro in it, you're screwed. It tastes like soap.
See, my husband says that too, but I don't think cilantro tastes like soap. But anyway,
you put too much cilantro in the salsa tastes like
soap.
It does.
Huh. Tomato soap?
Yeah. Something. What about you, Mike? What have you cooked that didn't work out?
Too many things.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the reason, you know, Judy cooks a lot.
Mike's so bad he could make Jello and burn it.
No, I burnt pudding before, though.
That smelled real good.
Oh, yeah, I bet that was fun to clean up, burn milk.
We had to throw out the pan, actually, because it got...
Yeah, I bet so.
There have been some things that I cooked that I didn't want to scrape out afterwards that I have just thrown the pan away. It's easier to throw, especially if you, like, throw it in the sink. And then you, like, go away for a day or two. Like,
and it's
you
just, still there.
And you come back, and then it's like, I'm not putting my hands near that ever. So
see,
just throw it away.
So I like cooking, like, a lot of Cajun food. I like cook, like, jambalaya.
So you do blackening.
You make it. So, you know, blackening is just a highfalutin way of
natural.
Saying burnt.
Exactly. No, I make a great jambalaya. I make a great, you know, stuff like that, a bolognese, you know, different. A lot of different things I like playing around with and playing in the
now,
kitchen.
Douglasville, Georgia has my absolute favorite restaurant on earth. It's a little place downtown in Douglasville. It's one of those little city square kind of places.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It's called Gumbo's. And Gumbo's is a Cajun restaurant, and they have some of the seafood gumbo Alfredo thing.
Right.
It's got crab and shrimp and stuff in it. It's like shrimp and crab Alfredo, and it is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Sounds awesome.
The one thing I miss in Georgia, next to the Varsity.
The Varsity is, you have to grow up with it.
Do you not like the Varsity?
No.
Oh, man.
It is. That's just a classic.
It's a dive.
It's not a dive. It's a national landmark.
It's a dive.
Every president since Truman has eaten there, which doesn't really make it a place you have to go eat.
Exactly.
But Obama dropped his. It was on the news. He got his little Varsity dog and dropped it on the floor.
I've heard.
Are you serious?
Yeah. But, no, the Varsity is like it's a rite of passage. It's like eating
it's a cult. It's like a cult.
The cult of what do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
What do you have? It's like, it's great when you drive up there, you go in and stuff. What do you have?
I remember growing up, there were quite a few really cool restaurants in Atlanta. There was one called, it was like the Clock something. And what I remember about it being a kid is they had one at Phipps Plaza.
Right.
And Phipps used to, before they remodeled it, had some of the coolest restaurants. And you would go in and sit at your table, and there was a telephone there, and you called in your order from your table.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. That is.
They brought it over to you. And then there was another one. It was House of Pan or something. It was crepes. The whole restaurant was crepes.
I do remember that. My mother took me there.
They had some really good.
That was a chain, wasn't it? Though?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Might have been one of my favorites.
Magic Pan. It was the Magic Pan.
We used to have one of those in Maryland when I grew up. Growing up, I remember that.
What was?
I like to in Atlanta go to the 57th Fighter Squadron, and you can eat and watch the planes land.
It's not there anymore.
What?
They went out of business.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorite places to eat.
Because I tried taking William there. Instead, we had to eat at that burger joint they have at Peachtree DeKalb Airport instead.
How about that? I'm so sad to hear that.
No. Have you guys been to the Colonnade?
No.
No.
I've heard of it. But
the Colonnade is like old Atlanta food. It's like
the Colonnade, where you sit on the porch, sip mint juleps on the veranda.
Kinda, yeah. But it's really, really, it's great stuff. It's all homemade food and such. It's awesome. I want to go try.
Hey, is Matthew's Cafeteria still there in Tucker?
Yes, it is.
That was one of my favorite places, too, gone.
Guy Fieri went there. And he did a show from it.
Do you guys remember?
Well, they're still cooking from scratch instead of doing canned vegetables like most places.
Oh, exactly. It's really, really good stuff.
Well, I just want to get around to the South's most favorite food, which is barbecue.
Oh, there's so many great barbecues.
I made my first barbecue tonight.
Really? All these years and you just now made barbecue?
It's the first one I have made, me, myself. Yeah, Dalton shot his first pig this hunting season. Well, I guess pig hunting season a lot. So Dalton shot the pig. They brought it home, cleaned it up. And by George, I made barbecue from scratch. I'm so proud of myself.
Did you do it as a pulled pork?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I was very – and it's good.
It's one of my favorite things about living down here in the South is the barbecue.
And not until you come here. There's no barbecue here. There's places that call themselves barbecue restaurants, but I grew up in North Georgia. That's where the barbecue is.
Well, it depends. You know, people here would say that's true, but then there's Texas barbecue, and then
I was going to say Texas barbecue is righteous. I have enjoyed that much.
Or then you
about
also,
being in Texas.
I've never had it, but I know that the best I've ever had was in South Carolina,
or the Carolinas, or also Memphis.
Actually, there's a place going up to school at Young Harris. I can't remember if it's in LJ or Blue Ridge. It's one with all the pig things on the hill.
It is an elegy.
Yeah. They have this, like, pig headstone graveyard behind the place. It's all up the side of this mountain. There's probably 2,000 pig headstones.
We need to get a picture of that and post it on the Random Vortex page, because that is funny.
That would be great.
I'm sure we could find one online.
I was just up there.
Yeah, I'm looking right now.
But what you do is you eat, and then your family spends $5 on a plaque, and you paint it and put the pig's name on it, and they go stick it up on the hill.
Aww.
And
it's just hysterical.
It is. The first time I ever saw it, I'm like, what the heck is that?
That sounds awesome.
The Pig Hill of Fame is what it's called.
Have you ever eaten there, though?
No.
I haven't either, but someone told me it's, like, fabulous.
Really?
But from the area South Carolina I lived in, which is Westminster and Seneca and Clemson,
right?
They have the South Carolina-style barbecue sauce, which is more the mustard sauce.
Right.
That stuff is really good. The closest you can get to it in the store is this brand called Cattleman's Best.
Right.
And they have the gold mustard-style barbecue sauce. It's like a sweet mustard. It's really good. But down here, it's like they get canned stuff and pour it on there and say that it's expensive and charge you $8 for a sandwich.
Oh, forget it.
Now, see, in Texas, it's a lot more smoky. It's really good. I've really enjoyed that. And my favorite new Texas food is called a barbecued baked potato. And they smother the baked potato in barbecue sauce when they cook it. And then it's served with pulled pork or chipped barbecue beef on top.
Oh, I bet that is good.
Because I know
it's fantastic.
Well, I know in Texas it's not even really that much pork. It's mostly the barbecue beef, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's really, really good down there. Well, growing up in Baltimore, we had a lot of the barbecue beef also.
Right.
And they'd have the beef, the really big, thick beef sandwiches, not like chunked or anything, just sliced beef, and they'd have horseradish on it and such. It's really, really good.
Yes, I miss barbecue. Now it makes me want to like just drive to Atlanta just to eat some. Or yeah, just get across the state line into Alabama. There's a few good ones there.
There's some really good ones up here if you want
to
come.
But Audrey's going to throw some information about how to see the Pig Hill up there. So go for it.
Audrey?
Okay, it's the Pig Hill of Fame in Ellijay, Georgia. E-L-L-I-J-A-Y. Ellijay. Pig Hill of Fame. It is just funny because all the pigs are poked into the hill in the shape of a pig.
Right. It's like,
it's where all good
it's bad enough that
die.
We chopped you up and ate you. Now we're going to put your headstone up to what you used to look like so you can haunt this hill forever.
Being haunted by the swine you had for lunch.
That reminds me, we have a road in Bremen called Hog Liver Road. It's oh, like, geez. What are people thinking when they name stuff? There's this really stupid one on the way to Young Harris. I can't remember what it is, but it's like real offensive kind of name for a little side road. I always made fun of it when we went by, and I can't remember what it is.
Oh, another food that really disgusts me, you just brought it up, was chicken livers.
I don't like any kind of liver or anything, but people eat them here like they're going out of style.
See, there's only one kind of liver I like, and that's chopped liver. But
I don't like liver, period.
I grew up with
a
it.
A tongue.
Judy won't even eat it, so.
I've never, ever even thought about eating tongue, but people say it's good.
It is good.
Well I'm not touching
I
that
I mean,
one.
Like, the big beef tongue. The other kind of tongue is
I was
wait.
Talking about beef tongue, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, the other kind of tongue is fine, but... but, you know, there's some weird animal parts that just aren't meant to be eaten. If you go to a Chinese grocer, don't ever go back to the meat department because you're going to see some stuff sitting there that you didn't know animals even had in them.
Oh, they've opened a chain up here of supermarkets called Super H Mart.
Uh-huh.
And it's an Asian-based grocery store. And they have all the different exotic animal parts in there in the grocery store. And it's a huge Kroger-sized store. And it's just like they have tongue sitting right there behind the counter, and they have like chicken feeds, and they have, you know, all this different things I've never
eaten. Yeah, I've been in one that had reproductive parts of horses and stuff in there, and I just was not.
It's like
crawled the fat at all. It's like, what do you want for dinner?
Reproductive part.
Let's have that. And that's an aphrodisiac, and the last thing I would ever think of doing after eating something like that is what you're eating it for.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's like, hey, baby, want to get romantic? Here's the horse. And let's go. Anyway, on that note...
I think we're winding down.
I think we're getting to the silly portion of our show.
Okay.
I would like to say, if anyone would like to be on our show... All right, go ahead.
I just had one thing, one last topic for us to talk on the same thing before we cut off. If you were on an island, the two foods you'd want to have with you.
Wow. That's a tough one.
That is tough. I want taco salad. I love taco salad. I even made up a taco salad dance when I was still living at home.
You know, I'm with you there, Audrey. Taco salad is one of my favorite things. We didn't even mention Mexican hardly at all.
No, a lot of Mexican would be awesome. Fajitas.
Yeah,
if you
get stranded on a Mexican island, that would be the best. Make your own tortillas out of the whatever you make tortillas out of on the island.
There's a clam chowder out of the Northwest. It's by a company called Ivar's. And
I've had it.
It is. Ivar's clam chowder is to die for. That would be one of my foods. And probably Captain Crunch would be one out of there.
You know, you think about that, that'd be amazing. But then after about 2 weeks of eating that,
you'd be like, I never want to have it again.
Something else, please. It's like after my college days, I still find it hard to eat ramen noodles.
Oh, I can't even
but
touch
I will.
That stuff. No, I cannot.
You can make all kinds of stuff out of ramen noodles, man. Just add all kinds of stuff.
I used to eat ramen noodles in college.
The problem is, I'm at a part in my life, I don't need to.
Yeah.
I know. But sometimes the kids think it's fun. It's 3-minute noodles. Woo!
That's funny.
They've got to, like, add water to the mac and cheese cups and put them in the microwave and You don't even have to cook anymore.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, well, for those of you who would like to be on our show, we're not going to be on Talk Shoe for a while because for some reason it doesn't like me very much.
We took a sledgehammer to it.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing our Skype calls, but if you'd like to, we'll post the time we're going to be on. And just look for my username, which is GeekWeekGA, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Hang on, I'll look.
I'm not listed up here.
I was going to say, it just says West.
Yeah, it says up here. It's West.
All right. It's GeekWeekGA at Skype. Just click on there and say you'd like to be on the show, and we'll let you on.
We'll let anybody guest. On. Look at us.
At this point, if we can do it, anyone can.
Exactly. I'm finding that out the hard way.
And the great thing is, if you say something we don't like, you just won't be on the show.
Now.
The magic of editing. I'm just kidding. It's not like that at all.
We'll, like, dub in your voice.
Yeah. We'll put a more interesting person on and say it's you.
Either that or we'll do the Charlie Brown teacher thing.
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, that's
Audrey,
right. I like
that better than us. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. It's like Lassie. Lassie, go save us. Oh, he's in the river.
Timmy's in the river again?
Lassie's over there with that St. Bernard. She needs to be saving Timmy.
All right, boys.
Anywho, I'm getting silly. You can contact us at randomvortexpodcast@gmail.com.
Or and you can find us on Facebook at the Random Vortex fan page.
Become a fan. And we need them.
We need fans. I'll tell you one thing, though. This Earth Station One thing that keeps popping up has almost twice as many fans as Random Vortex. I wonder if we could talk that person into talking their fans into coming over to our page.
I'll definitely recommend you guys.
It'd be really nice. Yeah, check out Earth Station One. Check out Doctor Who Podshock. Check out the Cultum Collective. And check us out, because we're way cooler.
We're way cool.
Way cool.
Way cool.
Let's try to butcher the English language a little bit more.
We is way cool.
We is way cooler.
I don't think it's physically possible for me to do that.
You can try. Come on. You can do anything. I know you. You will probably hate yourself afterwards, though.
Well, guys, thanks again for a great show.
It was a good night.
Yeah, everybody, please join us next week when we'll come up with a really cool topic like this one.
Exactly.
We would have thought food would be so interesting to listen to.
We've been talking and blabbing about food for over an hour.
So all of you listeners out there, please try not to burn down your kitchen.
And if you do, put it in the sink and unplug it first.
Yes. Yeah. While eating a bagel with lox or cream cheese.
Bagels.
All right, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.
See y'all later. Bye, guys.
Come on.